testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey. Rejoicing the heart, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey.
Exhorting you in the faith, because we are told very clear that without faith it is impossible to please God. And he's brought us here today in this room primarily to work on our faith, to get us to that place and consecration where we believe and we don't doubt. And we're all a work in progress. We're all on this path. And he's working day and night, every second, every moment with us, ever working with us to keep our eyes solely, completely on him, who is the author, finisher of our faith. And I'm calling our teaching today, True Faith Keeps Its Eyes on Jesus. True faith keeps its eyes on Jesus. There's a scripture that comes to mind in Isaiah 45, chapter 45 of the book of Isaiah, and verse 22. And he says here, "Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God, there is no other." So he's saying to Israel, look to me. He has already revealed that he is the God, there is no other God. He has formed the earth. He's reveals that he's just and merciful. There is none beside me, he says in verse 21 and verse 22. He says, look to me and be saved. Now, in the Hebrew, the idea here to look to him is to be delivered. By looking to him, it gives you the victory. By looking to him, he is saying here, this is deliverance from moral troubles. It also means, by looking to him, to be safe. So he's not so much referring to Israel as a nation, as a called out people, but he again is appealing to them to look solely to him, because by doing that, you get the victory. You overcome temptation, weaknesses. You are safe by looking completely to him. That is what he's saying here. Look to me and be saved. In this idea of being saved, it means to turn toward or turn away or show signs that you are turning around and you are looking and coming back to me. That is what he's saying here. And that's why we're calling our teaching this morning, True Faith Keeps Its Eyes on Jesus, because that is still the same principle in operation. And this is why we make so much of the Word of God, and this is why we preach so much about faith, because this is what it does for you. It causes you to continually look to him. And by looking to him, you are saved and being saved. You are being brought out from. That is the idea. And that principle is still the same today, even under the new covenant, under the work of grace and God's provision through the blood of the Lamb. It's still the same. Praise God. So we are learning, aren't we, as we read this word and we hear this word, we're learning that the word, as we know, was made flesh. And therefore, it is about a living person, a living being. It is about Almighty God who manifested himself in flesh to us. The revelation of him. And so we are learning that our faith walk, our walk each day, is not merely simply words printed on pages. Of course it is, because that's how we read it, but it is the Word made flesh. It is about a living person. It is about Jesus who lives today, who always has been and always will be. For the Word of God says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when you read this Word, when you receive the promises of God's Word, that is from a living person, God himself. And that's the relationship he's working to get us into. Religious people still only understand the word mentally. They do not really have an encounter, an experience with the author of this book. And that is so essential if we are to walk in these last days by faith, that I am having a personal experience, encounter with the risen Lord Jesus Christ through the baptism of the Holy Spirit that he has placed in my life. This is what makes this real. And God is getting that from our heads to our hearts. You see, Satan knows this, and this is why he attacks. And he will try and work in your situations where this is not really applicable today. This is not in this society. This society that you live in today, now in the 21st century, is different from those times when Jesus walked the earth or under the old covenant. That is what the spirit of this age is continually trying to work and war against us, in our minds, in our circumstances, through our family, or whatever it would be. It's not applicable today. Your life, society, your circumstances, everything is so different from those times back, thousands of years ago. And a lot of that is what we battle with. We may not be fully aware of that, but that is what we battle with. You see, everything today says that you are more educated than they were way, 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 way back. They didn't have schools and they didn't have the amenities that we have today. And so, with all of that, and sadly a lot of Christendom is oppressed and affected by this. This is why they say there are many ways of approaching God. And hence you have the ecumenical move. Or there are many ways of learning his word. There are many ways that you can approach the word of God. There are many preachers and teachers and churches that you can go to and learn about God. All of this can sound very convincing, but it's very subtle. Because the only way the Bible shows us that we learn about the Word of God and faith comes by hearing the Word of God is by our consecration, our relationship with God, and God bringing us under the anointing, under the headship, the banner of Himself, and the gifts that he places in the church. That is how our faith starts to come and grow, how we can start to walk by faith. And this is why there have been many over the years who attempted or tried to walk this faith walk and nothing happened, or it didn't work, or it ended in disaster and so forth. But God makes it absolutely clear who is the author, finisher of your faith. And his name is Jesus. And that is the problem. It is one thing just confessing him and telling others that you follow him, that you're a born-again believer and so forth, and rightly so. But it is another thing where your life is an experience and a walk with him, knowing him. And that is what God is raising up in these last days. The sons of God are going to walk with the Lord. They are going to experience him. They will know what he is saying and what he has promised. God is working this with you and I as he's raising us up. And that is why we keep our life and our heart and our walk, our affections are all on him and him alone. I mean, we hear this over and over again, yet to experience that and move into that is quite another thing. And one of the things the enemy is so subtle with is that things are different today. Society is different. We've got all technology. We've got all medical things in our at our disposal. We've got all our financial needs and everything. What need do you have of this? The word of God needs to be preached differently to when it was in Christ's time or the early church. These are all the things that you hear and come up. And sadly, the Laodicean church has taken it all on board and is blinded, sadly. You see, They say to walk this walk is you are a heretic. You cannot follow God as the early church did. It was much more simple. It wasn't complicated in those days like it is today. And so this is why they regard us as fanatical or heretical or a cult. But we're told that the Holy Spirit doesn't change. God doesn't change. Maybe circumstances, but God is still the same. Love is still the same. Commitment is still the same. Discipleship is still the same. Nothing changes with God. And that is the wonderful blessing of all of this. God's love doesn't change over you or I. What he has called us for and destined us for is not going to change. What God is going to do with Israel in the last days doesn't change. No matter what journey she's on, no matter how much she's rebelled and stiff-necked and rejecting Messiah, his decrees do not change. She will be restored again in the last days. So don't believe these lies that the enemy tries to work, that life is just too hectic to follow God. You see, the world is in complete idolatry. And you see, this idolatry is such a hindrance to faith and seeking Jesus. And this is why at times we compromise. We give in to it. We give in to the spirit of this age. Oh, it's far easier just to go along with it. It makes it a smoother ride. But God doesn't give us peace. God isn't going to let us compromise with all that we see around us today. He's not going to let us compromise by relying upon it, substituting it for our commitment, our consecration, our walk, our faith. He's working with each of us so that we are totally, completely abandoned unto him and him alone. That is how the bride makes herself ready in these last days. She will never be able to make herself ready if she's caught up with idolatry, if she's caught up with the spirit of this age and all the controls that are attached to it. No way. You see, Jesus is a revelation. And whatever he says in the natural, in the flesh, never makes sense. The word of God doesn't make sense. And that is why it's faith. And faith isn't going to question. Faith isn't going to say, well, I'm not going to believe this because I don't understand it. Faith is going to say, Lord, I see your word, I read your word, I may not fully understand it, my life isn't yet conformed to it, but whatever it takes, work it within me and through me for your glory. That is what faith says. That is what faith does. We're all of us standing on the brink of disaster. But that is what faith is. That is what it's about. And the reason that we walk by faith is because it puts Christ first. God knew right down through the ages that faith was the key to save man. He knew that faith would put him first. That's why he says, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He knew that faith was the key to putting him first. Fulfilling the first commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and being and so forth. Faith does that. Now, don't try and work that out, but that is what it does. It throws you totally, completely on him. And that is why we have seen over the years that the faith teaching and the faith message has been attacked more than anything else in my life as a Christian. And I've been walking many years now with the Lord. I have seen that this area of faith has been attacked more by the powers of darkness than anything else in our ministries. And I wonder why. Because the faith, this faith, is the key to walking with God in unbroken fellowship. It is. Now, don't try and work it out. You may be saying tonight, you come into the room, well, I just feel I haven't got any faith. I just feel I'm completely at the end of my faith, or whatever it is. You may well be in the natural, but that is the very means of which you walk in unbroken covenant and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Word of God is a living person. And it is a living word. And that is why our faith is real, and it needs real objects to prove it. You won't have that experience of faith. You won't have that experience of knowing that God is faithful and that he loves you. He hasn't forsaken you unless you meet objects in your life to prove that faith. And those objects, many times, can be trials, delays of faith, or whatever it would be. But we still think it strange, don't we? Because we're still carnally, intellectually trying to work it out. And you never will. You will never work faith out. It is a revelation that comes from God. And that revelation is his word, and that is why he illumines our minds and hearts in his word, the revelation of his word. And this is why he places the unction, the anointing that works this word into our hearts by faith. And it's our trials that help keep our eyes on Jesus. Because a lot of our trials are the objects in our faith. And faith is going to prove that he can bring you through whatever situation. But there's also another reason in this. When a church ministers preach faith as the Word of God reveals it, this also stops man from becoming religious and making God just abstract, which sadly is what religion does. Religion doesn't experience the risen Lord Jesus Christ. That is the problem with religion. But when you walk by faith, when faith is taught as the Word of God teaches it, then you begin to experience God. You experience the supernatural walk that you are to walk as Christians. So much of Christendom has lost this supernatural walk. Their life isn't supernatural anymore. Their life isn't miraculous. Experiencing the miracles of God. Thank God there is a remnant around in the world today that are. But so much of it has been reduced and watered down because they say it's not applicable for today. Life is different. It's changed. Our environment is changed. We have so many amenities now. Well, the Bible shows us that all of that is going to come crashing down. All these things that man is relying upon, these powers, these principalities, it's all going to come crashing down in the last days. So don't rely upon it. The only thing you can rely upon is your eyes fully looking to the Lord Jesus Christ and walking with him daily in fellowship, in covenant with him. That is the only reliable source. The rest will fail and let you down. This is why we know that our faith is like a grain of mustard seed. What is it saying? Let's just remind ourselves in Matthew 17. Matthew 17 and verse 20. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. And many times that sort of faith also needs what it says in verse 21. However, this kind does not go except by prayer and fasting. So we see there clearly a faith that speaks to these mountains, these obstacles to be removed, may sometimes require also prayer and fasting. And often it does. We preach many, many times where prayer and fastings at times are very connected with faith. So we know that. But the point is, it's a mustard seed. It's a grain of seed. That's all he's asking. And so we find out that our faith keeps our eyes on Jesus. It keeps our eyes on him to help us trust in him. So because he is living, he's a living person, the word of God is living, is alive. When we talk about the word of God, when we read about the word of God, we're talking about Jesus. You can't separate him. Therefore, that keeps our eyes on him. It keeps our faith alive. It causes us to continue to trust in him, to trust in his character. What is his character? He is faithful. He is merciful. He is long-suffering. He is gentle. He is kind. Everything, that is him. That is his character. That is what your faith is quickened by. Even at times when there's unbelief in us, or we miss it in our trials, we find that God brings us back again so that we can overcome this time. He doesn't give up on us. That is why he's faithful. And that is why the trials of our faith, our daily living, our walking, our overcoming in this world is a reality, because it's meeting Jesus in every step. Are you going through a trial? Yes, some of you are. Some of you are going through deep trial. He is faithful. He is with you right in the situation. And his love never separates us from that situation, because he's faithful. Now, you either know you are in faith or you're not, because faith will produce its fruit. One of the signs that you are in faith believing is the presence of God. Jesus, your eyes are looking totally on him. They are not looking on the circumstances. They are not looking at what the devil is loudly saying. You are anchored, you are firm, you are looking at him. And sometimes we have to be honest when we're in a trial. Lord, am I fully looking at you in this trial I'm going through? Please help me. Please show me. If I'm not, then work this in me. Sometimes we have to be honest. Sometimes we have to just say, I'm not in that place of faith as I should be. There's nothing wrong in that. That is not weakness. Sometimes God wants that honesty, that humility out of us in order to get us to that place of faith and believing. But I have seen some who are over the years, who've been very proud, arrogant almost, in their believing. Oh, I'm in faith. I'm looking to the Lord. I'm trusting him. And fall flat on their face. God has a way of working these godly affections within our heart. He's ever working on our heart. He's ever changing us, molding us. But he's also working that humility within us. And sometimes our trials are actually to show us that we're not in that place of faith. But God will reveal that because that's a revelation. On occasions, God can permit that in order to try and get your attention. You're not in the place where you think you are. And that is, again, because he loves us. He doesn't want us to miss this. He doesn't want us to be blinded. We can so easily blind ourselves. Because I feel the faith. I feel the anointing. We've shown over the years that faith has got nothing to do with emotions or feelings. It's about believing the word of God. Now, if you feel emotional or you feel anointed, well, praise God, that's a double blessing. But your faith is not in that. That is the whole point. And that is why faith will be tested. Because it's tested for one purpose, to keep our eyes on him. And faith is going to be tested mightily in these last days, as the tribulations get worse and worse. And we know that judgment begins first in the house of God. And we also know that God is shaking the heavens and the earth. That shaking has already started. And God wants us to be able to discern that and to know that. And he wants us to learn through these shakings that this is my deliverance. This is where, through the shakings, he's getting my life, my heart, my affections, my all on Jesus and Jesus alone. Because everything else will crumble. It's going slowly. The signs are telling us globally. And yet we go on with our eyes closed, like those ostriches with our heads in the sand. Tomorrow be okay. We have to be a people who are reading, who are discerning the signs and the times that we live in. Because God is speaking. As I bring this to a conclusion, we know very well in the book of Revelation, the seven churches in Asia Minor And these seven churches spiritually in many ways speak today of the things that are happening, sadly, amongst Christendom and in the house of God. And we can glean from these what is happening. And I'm just going to bring out a few of the things that are happening. For example, in the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10, we see with the church at Philadelphia, the faithful church, it says, "Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial or tribulation, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth." That in many ways is speaking of the tribulation, the great tribulation of the last days. And he says, you have persevered. You have kept my command. In other words, you have kept my word. I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world. So God says he will be faithful to those who stay with God's word, who walk this walk of faith, who don't want to compromise, who want to be faithful to God. He says, in that hour, I'm going to preserve you. I'm going to keep you from the trial. This is where we start to get the ideas and revelations of the rapture of the church, the calling away, because nobody wants to be around when the great tribulation is taking place. It will be horrendous. He says back in verse 4 of chapter 3, he says, "You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy." Again, we get an understanding that there are those who desire purity, holiness. They've separated themselves. They're not getting caught up in defilement, in idolatry, deception, the world. So again, we see that he has a remnant who will walk like that in these last days. How about chapter 2 and verse 25? He says, "But hold fast what you have till I come." The church at Thyatira. So he says, hold on to it. What you have been taught, what the Holy Spirit is teaching you, the revelation in his word, he is saying, whatever happens, hold on to it. This is why we preach the deeper life teaching. This is why we have shown that you can go as deep and as far as you want with God through the baptism of the Spirit, because of that open door. And so we hold fast to it when many have left it and gone elsewhere or embraced different other doctrines or whatever it would be. That is commendable in the sight of God, because this is all about keeping our eyes on Jesus. That's what we're talking about here. How about in chapter 2, verse 20-21? "Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent of our sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Here is the corrupt church of Thyatira. This is where they give in to the pressures of society, to the uncleanness in society. It's easier just to go along with it and live and act like the rest of the world does. But we can still be Christian. God knows us. He loves us. He knows that we can't overcome because the world is so different today. And that is the door that will open for that demon to come in. And that demon always will attack headship. It attacks ministry. This demon is very subtle. It seduces. It devours men. And sadly, we see that God gave time for repentance, but they wouldn't. It wouldn't. So again, we see these problems today. They're in our churches today. Weakening their ministry, their stand. It's very subtle how it works. And it's not always just women. It can be men as well. It can work because these are demons in operation. But it will always attack headship. And we know that God has a divine order set in the church. And it will always attack that divine order. That is the tragedy of it. It devours. Well, we also can look in Revelation 2, 9 and 10. This is the persecuted church at Thyatira. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. That, I believe, is speaking about the persecution that sadly will come in professing Christendom. Brothers and sisters who profess that they love Christ will turn and betray you because you want to walk by faith and trust God and not the arm of the flesh. And that is why this faith walk is going to be a dividing line. And this is why we've had more attacks from professing believers about this, what we preach, than any else I know. They don't like the fact that you walk by faith, that you have thrown your life totally and completely upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It is called jealousy. And jealousy is a big problem in the house of God. Jealousy caused the first murder on the earth with Cain and Abel. And that is what I believe is speaking there about. But he says, hold fast. We've just been looking at some of these principles here to these churches that I believe are so applicable to us today. It doesn't matter what they say, what they think. Your life is unto Jesus. You do everything unto him. You obey him and him alone. And he will vindicate. He will bring you through. He will protect you and preserve you. As he does, when we keep our eyes completely on him and him alone, who is the author and finisher of our faith. So don't think it strange with these trials, these things that are going on. Things in your life that just doesn't make any sense. We live in a fallen world. And it's falling rapidly further and further away. So don't think it strange, these daily trials that we go through. Because they're all to get you to keep your eyes upon Jesus. That's why they happen. So when you buy that new washing machine and you find it's delivered, and the first thing you see is when they unwrap it, it's the wrong one. You didn't order that. Praise God, that's a trial. That's to keep your eyes on Jesus. Or when you get an estimate for something, and then you find when the job is done, it costs more than what the estimate was. Way, way more. Praise God, that's designed to keep your eyes on Jesus. Or when you go away on holiday, and to find that when you get to your destination, you're not at the right hotel. They put you in a different one. I had that happen to me years ago. Praise God, I knew what was in that. That was to keep my eyes on Jesus. Or the workers come in and promise to finish the job today. It'll all be done today, madam, sir. And they don't even turn up. That happened to me last week. Stayed in all day, didn't turn up. Praise God, it's designed to keep my eyes on Jesus. Or they fog you off with lies. They patronize you as if you were born yesterday. They tell lies. We hear this all the time. It's all designed. It's all allowed so that your eyes, your faith is on Jesus and Jesus alone. That is how your faith works, brothers and sisters. Let the Spirit of God bring you to that place, that rest. And then you won't find that you start retaliating. You start getting upset and angry. And you want to get your own back and so on. That's what he's delivering us from. Because that's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to get angry. He wants you to retaliate. He wants you to get all upset because that takes your eyes off Jesus. And then your faith isn't working as it should be. But one day we'll wake up to this and we'll say, that is it, it's finished. No more. No more. Yes, there was a trial today. Yes, this is happening. But this is to keep my eyes on Jesus and to draw from his living word in my life. Hallelujah. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. Amen.
I will lift up my eyes to the hills from where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Slumber nor sleep. The Lord, he is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day,
from all evil, He will keep your